I've always been puzzled by the disciple in today's gospel reading. What's the big deal? Hasn't he seen the temple before? Or is he admiring the architecture like a tourist might? Or is he just wanting Jesus' attention and doesn't really know how to get it? He says, "Look, teacher, what great stones and what great large buildings." An odd statement, I think. I have sometimes wondered if he, and note that I am assuming he was a man, whether he was still thinking that Jesus would be leading an insurrection. And he was commenting that the strength and the size of the temple would provide a safe base for the rebels. I don't know. Whatever he was talking about, Jesus' answer is chilling. "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." You will remember that one of the literary genres that we find in the Bible is apocalyptic writing. We heard some today, and we will more over the next few weeks as we reach the end of the church's year, that's next week, and move into Advent when we think about the coming of the Christ, first in Bethlehem, and then in the second coming. Apocalypse means revelation. And apocalyptic writings apparently reveal the coming doom and the glory of the end times. Sometimes they're accounts of dreams and visions. Sometimes they're just straight fiction. But scholars don't think they should be taken in any way literally. But when it seems as though the sky is falling, it's helpful to have an account which makes sense of what's happening now in the light of a great cosmic drama. And don't we have that this morning in these readings? Our first one was from the book of Daniel, some great apocalyptic writing. Most scholars think it was written about 2 centuries before Christ and was alluding to the reign of Antiochus IV Epiphanes. Antiochus was a capricious Hellenistic ruler whose persecution of Jews led to the Maccabean Rebellion and the complete destruction of the temple. And a similar event happened in the year 70, when during the first Jewish-Roman war, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, again, including the temple. And we think that the Gospel of Mark, which we heard from this morning, was written about then, when everything was falling apart, and it was important to write down the memories of Jesus so that something might remain for future generations. And the writer provided words of Jesus which would give comfort and hope in that time of great difficulty. "Do you see these great buildings?" Jesus says. "Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." I don't know about you, but I was disappointed in the agreements coming out of COP26. I was hoping and praying for the great turning, the day that the nations truly admit that dependence on fossil fuels is killing us and agree, commit to take the bold steps necessary to prevent even worse climate casualties. After COP26, we have movement, we have some forward progress, but it doesn't seem to be enough. Barring a miracle or a series of small ones, things are possibly going to get a lot worse. And for many of us, it seems today that the sky is falling, just as it did for the Jews of Daniel's time and the Jews of the first century, indeed the Jews of the 20th century. As things seem dark, it is time for us now to be writing our own apocalyptic story. Not one which conjures up mythical beasts and wild fantasies, but a story which reveals God at work among the people of God, even when the sky is falling. a story which gives us hope, a story which will comfort us later tonight when we are living the birth pangs, a story which will carry us forward through the birth canal into the new light. Unfortunately, we have such a story. We have a great story about God becoming human and walking among us and knowing what it is to be human. We have a great story about how we have become the children of the living God, and that even after physical death, we will be raised up to participate in the coming reign of God, of justice and of peace. The writer of Mark used the words of Jesus to tell a story that would bring hope to his readers. "Don't worry," he says. "Jesus told us that the temple would be destroyed. But don't let anyone lead you astray. Hold on to the knowledge of Jesus." And the writer to the Hebrews, in our second reading today, points out that we are not dependent on priests for our relationship with God. But because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we have direct access. And the writer encourages us, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. He who has promised is faithful. Yes, even as the sky is falling, we hold on to the hope that God is faithful. Even as the day of the Lord approaches, the day when everything falls away into darkness, death, and then the promised new life, even as that day approaches for us as individuals, as a civilization, as a planet, let us hold on to the confession of our hope." But wait, there's more. Back to Daniel and enter the great archangel Michael, the protector. We are not alone. As we do everything we can to live lives of integrity and nonviolence, which honor all the creatures and plants of the planet, we are supported on every side by the communion of saints, that great cloud of witnesses we talked about last week, and by Michael and the hosts of heaven. This is our story. This is our song, praising our Savior all the day long. We get to tell the story. We get to tell it in new ways. We get to use new language, language that makes sense to us in this day and age. It probably won't be the language of Daniel or Hebrews or even Mark. It is the language of God's people living in the 21st century, even as the climate unravels. But it is a story of hope, always a story of hope, because we are called to be one in Christ. We are called to a new life, a life which transcends the disasters of this human existence, a life dedicated and surrounded to the living God in whose love we trust and who will never let us down. Let's join together singing those words of the 19th century. Of God.